بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل لن نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن موسى كان رجلا حيا ستيرا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, we find that in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many, many incidents, many, many stories from the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in certain places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated entire chapters of the Holy Quran to discuss or speak of some incident from the life of these Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. That is why we find in Quran Sharif, Surah Yusuf, Surah Hud, Surah Yunus, and other Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam as well. And the reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention these stories or these incidents in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala himself tells us the reason: وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِي مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reason for us to relate to you, to mention to you the stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam in the Holy Quran, is so that it may strengthen your hearts, it may motivate you, it may encourage you. In another place, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Certainly in the stories of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, there are great lessons for those people who have intelligence, those people who are wise enough to take lesson from the stories of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Now we find in Quran Sharif, alhamdulillah, we read Quran Sharif, and we find the Nabi whose name is mentioned the most in the Holy Quran is Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Just to show you, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam's name is mentioned 136 times in the Holy Quran. And second on the list is that of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and his name is mentioned 69 times in the Holy Quran. So we can just see how many times in the Holy Quran the name of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is mentioned. And the 20th part of the Holy Quran, we find a surah entitled Surah Al-Qasas, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in much detail the life of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Many aspects, many scenes, scenarios from the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And Allah, as we mentioned the ayat already, Allah told us the reason for mentioning all this is so that we can take lesson and draw lesson from the stories of the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So today, inshallah, my dear brothers, I wish to share with you some few lessons, two or three lessons, very, very practical, pertinent lessons, lessons that we can adopt into our lives and try to practice upon, and things that we are seeing happening nowadays. And my dear brothers, this really is the purpose of the Holy Quran. Today, unfortunately, a businessman reads Quran in his shop so that he can draw barakat into his shop. And a person who is half his studies the Quran because there is some sort of textbook which I have to commit to memory. Whereas the actual purpose, the main purpose of the Quran, Quran will have all these fringe benefits, but the main purpose of Quran is so that we can draw benefit from the Holy Quran. So what are some of the stories that we can take from the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam? It's a very, very remarkable story. If those of us who have the time, we should pick up an authentic, reliable translation of the Holy Quran and go to the surah and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in the surah. One lesson that we can take from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is where Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the beginning of the surah, Surah Qasas, وَوَحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was born at a time when Firaun, the leader of the Aqbat, the Copts of Egypt, they were the ruling class of Egypt. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam belonged to the Bani Israel. And the people of Firaun were doing great injustice upon the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was during this period that Firaun had seen in a dream that he had a certain dream, and when he went to his soothsayers, his fortune tellers, for them to interpret this dream for him, the person told him, it seems from your dream that a child will be born amongst the Bani Israel, the people who you are oppressing. A child will be born amongst them, and this child will be the result for the termination of your kingdom. This child will be a result for the termination of your kingdom. So Firaun, as is the way with the tyrants of the world, immediately issued a decree that every child that is born, every male child that is born amongst the Bani Israel, you will have to be killed. You will have to be killed. And it was during this period, when this decree was issued by Firaun, during this time, during this period, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. So the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, naturally fearing for her son, at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her. Because of her fear for her son, Allah ta'ala inspired her. And Allah mentions in Quran Sharif, فَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah ta'ala told her, do two things, do not do two things, and Allah gave her two promises. Do two things, do not do two things, and Allah ta'ala gave her two promises. The two things for you to do is that when you are fearing that we continue to breastfeed your child, and when you are fearing that Firaun and his henchmen will get hold of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time take your son, put him in a box, and put him in the river. And wala takhafi, do not fear that your son will drown. Wala tahzani, and do not grieve over the separation of your son. So let us do two things and do not do two things. And if you will comply with this, then Allah promised her, إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ, that certainly we will return your son to you. Not only that, وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, we will make him grow up into a strong, healthy, normal person. And not only that, he will become a prophet and one of the greatest prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she complied with his instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala fulfilled the promise that he made to her. Likewise, my dear brothers, Allah ta'ala has made promises to us. Allah Ta'ala has promised us Jannah. And Allah Ta'ala has promised that Allah Ta'ala will not punish us if we comply with the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at this ayat. Ulama mentioned that Allah Ta'ala gave her two instructions. One is to breastfeed. This is absolutely normal, makes sense. A mother to be breastfeeding her small child, her young suckling child, this makes absolute sense for her to breastfeed. But the second instruction makes no sense whatsoever. For us, it makes no sense whatsoever. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. When you are fearing that your son will be taken away, will be caught by Firaun and his people, then logic would tell us, at that time, maybe run away, go to hiding, go underground, take your son, hide him, conceal him. Rather, Allah Ta'ala told her, take your son, put him into the box, in a box, and put him in the river. Which makes no sense to our minds. Because not only now are you exposing him to being caught by Firaun, but now you're also exposing him to another danger, that of drowning. But Allah Ta'ala told her, comply, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي, and don't let your emotions get the better of you, and I promise you that I will fulfill my promise to you. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and who is more true than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Any promise Allah has made, Allah promises, Allah says that I will never go against his promise. So likewise, maybe that Allah Ta'ala has given us instructions in our lives. Whether it makes sense to us, or whether it does not make sense to us, it's not our duty to decide that. Allah has never ever instructed us that only act when it makes sense to you. Rather, our duty is sam'an wa ta'atan, that we listen and we obey to every instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, Allah Ta'ala has given us faculties. The faculty of sight, the faculty of hearing, and other things as well. Just like how I can only see a few meters away, if I am asked to look at a person who is standing a 1 kilometer, 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers away, I will not be able to see that person. Likewise, if you ask me to hear, listen to somebody who is close by, I might be able to hear him. But for me, with my ear, without any device, for me to hear somebody who is hundreds of kilometers away, impossible, I cannot do it. Just as these faculties of ours are limited. It's only so much that these faculties of ours can do. Likewise, this intellect and this intelligence which Allah Ta'ala has given us is also limited. There's only so much that we can understand. Thereafter, our duty is just to obey and listen and comply with the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, today we find the sickness amongst Muslims where they question the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it makes sense to them, then they are happy to act. And if it does not make sense to them, then they will discard. Why do we have to wear our pants below our ankles? And with so many other questions that people are raising against Islam, Muslims raising. Why is riba haram? I heard in my own ears, a brother is saying that maybe riba is not supposed to be haram. Maybe the ulama have to re-look into the masala of riba and look for some way to make it halal. وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبِيعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ Allah himself in Quran has said that riba is haram. There is no way to legitimize it. So my dear brothers, our duty, our task is not to question the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not to only act when it makes sense to us. Rather at every juncture of our life, whatever is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it makes sense or does not make sense, we'll have to comply with the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's one lesson we can take from the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another lesson that we can try to take from the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was picked up after he was put in the box by Firaun, by his mother, he was picked up by Firaun. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was taken as adopted son in the palace of Firaun, and he grew up in the palace of Firaun. And all this while Firaun was abusing and oppressing the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. On one occasion, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam happened to be walking around at a time when most of the people were relaxing, taking it easy. And at that time, Musa alayhi came across two people who were arguing and fighting. One person happened to be from the tribe of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Bani Israel, the Israelites. And the other person happened to be from the Aqbat, the Copts, the people of Firaun. And these two people are arguing. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing these two people arguing, the person from his tribe, he summoned Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to come give him some sort of assistance. So Musa, this person is oppressing me, he making a vulnerable upon me, I request you to help me. So Musa alayhi salam came forward, for waqaza wa Musa faqaba ali. Musa alayhi salam wanted to teach this person a lesson. This enemy of theirs, teach him a lesson. So Musa alayhi salam, he punched this person. Musa alayhi salam is a person Allah Ta'ala has given him immense strength. Musa alayhi salam did not intend to harm this person very seriously, but not realizing his own strength, he punched him, and that was the end of the story. This person passed away. This person died, one punch of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is mentioned in Quran. Waqaza wa Musa faqaba ali. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, realizing what he had done at that time, immediately he says, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ He says, this is from the doing of the devil. And he says, the devil is the one who is an open enemy to human being, to mankind, and he is one who is always ready to lead his human being astray. And then Musa turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ Oh my Lord, certainly I have wronged myself. Now my dear brothers, a very, very important lesson for us to take from this. And this is something that unfortunately has become very, very common amongst youngsters, amongst young children, amongst grown up, is that when we begin to justify our wrong. We justify our wrong. This issue of justifying our wrong. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time, he could have made so many excuses that this person is an enemy of ours. This person, these people have killed so many of my people. So many of the youngsters amongst my people. They have killed so many amongst my people. So what if I kill only one of them? But Musa alayhi salam, instead of justifying the mistake he made, rather immediately he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness for the mistake that he had committed. Today, my dear brothers, this attitude of justifying our wrong. Ulama mentioned that that person who does wrong, he makes mistakes, but then he accepts and he concedes that I have done wrong. There is great hope for this person. Inshallah, the day will come when Allah Ta'ala will give him the ability to stay from all kinds of sin, all kinds of wrongs. But that person who does wrong, commits sin, and still he always feels that he is right, this person is in a very, very dangerous situation. Iman ka khatra. This person's iman is a jeopardy. This person's iman is jeopardy. Today, my dear person, today, he has the attitude that I am always right. And then what he does, he takes Quran and Hadith, and he takes it and cherry picks ayat of Quran and the Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to suit his whims and fancies. So you get a person who will pick fault on everyone. And then when you address the person that why are you picking fault on them, then you quickly quote the saying of Hassan Basri, that person who commits a sin openly, then to speak ill of him is not ghibah. That person who commits sin openly, then to speak ill of him is not ghibah. But then when somebody has to expose the sin of this very same person, then the person cherry pick hadith, and you say, do you not know Allah, the Nabi Muhammad has instructed us that we conceal the faults of our believers, of our fellow brothers. So when a person has attitude, always right, then he will cherry pick hadith, and he'll choose ayat of Quran just to suit his whims and fancies. That is why amongst the du'as of our pious akabir ulama, Ya Allah, ham iqrari mujrim hai. I've heard our ulama making this dua. Allah, when we make dua, Allah, we are those people who confess to our sins. Allah loves it very, very dearly. When a person does wrong, and after doing wrong, he confesses to his sin, he concedes to his sin, that Allah Ta'ala loves this very, very dearly. So my dear brothers, this attitude of always thinking that we are, is a very, very dangerous attitude. And unfortunately, it's an attitude that is very, very prevalent nowadays. Be very, very careful, and go to the ulama, the pious ulama, the mashayikh, and explain to them that I have this problem, and seek some solution for this problem of always thinking that you are right, and I'm always right and everyone else is wrong. Try to get some remedy before it is too late, my dear brothers. As I mentioned, ulama say that your iman is at stake when a person always tries to justify his wrong. The another lesson from the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was that when Musa alayhi salam had killed this person, Firaun got news that this will happen and immediately issued a decree that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will have to be arrested and he will have to be killed. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got the news of this decree, immediately he fled from Egypt and he went to a place called Madian. And when he comes to Madian, the first people he encounters is a group of herdsmen, a group of shepherds. And these people are there at some watering hole, they're giving their animals water to drink. And Musa comes there and he finds that a group, there are two young ladies who are standing aside away from these men and holding the flock back, not allowing the flock to go and drink water. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam approaches these two young ladies and he comes and asks them, ma khatbukuma, then what is the story, why are you not allowing the animals to go and drink water? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in a very, very desperate situation at that time, no family, no money, no place to stay, no food, absolutely tired after a long journey, he undertook the journey not knowing where he's going, he ends up in Madian. So he tells them that, can I do you a favor and take this flock of yours and go to the watering hole, give them water to drink? So they tell them that yes, you can do it, and the reason why we are here, it is we feel it against haya to rub shoulders with the men. For our father is a very, very elderly person, he's unable to tend to the animals himself, that is why we have to undertake this task. So Musa alayhi salatu takes his animals of theirs, he goes to the watering hole, he gives them water to drink, and then he returns his animals to them, and sets them on the way. And now he turns to some shade and he says, O Allah Ta'ala, I am desperately in need of whatever help you can send to me. Meanwhile, these young girls, they go home and they relate the entire incident of this very, very honest, upright person, very, very modest person that he had met. They relate to their father. Their father turns out to be Nabi Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. So one of the daughters says, O father, you're looking for somebody to tend to the sheep. Why don't you hire this person? So the father says, one of the daughters. The Quran Sharif says this woman comes, تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا, she's walking with extreme modesty. And she comes to Musa alayhi salatu and says, oh Musa alayhi salam, my father is calling you, he wants to reimburse you for the task, for the job that you have done for us today. Mufassirin mentioned, one is the haya of this woman. In his entire episode of the Quran, approximately one page, Allah Ta'ala makes references twice to the modesty of this woman. And Mufassirin also mentioned, look at the modesty of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was now going with this young lady back to the home of her father, he was walking, he told his woman that I will walk in front of you and you walk behind me, because I do not want my days to fall upon you. I will walk in front of you, you walk behind me. If I need to turn to the right, then you throw a stone towards the right, I will turn to the right. If I need to turn to the left, you throw a stone to the left and I will turn to the left. Musa alayhi salam comes, he relates, comes to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, he relates the entire incident to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, Shu'ayb alayhi salam pacifies him and tells him that I have a job for you, but I have one condition first. The condition is that you will have to marry one of my daughters, and marry my daughters on the condition that you will work for me for a certain number of years. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will not long ago left Egypt, arrived in Madian, desperate situation, no family, no money, nowhere to stay, nowhere to eat. But because of his upright nature, and because of him upholding the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not falling into temptation. There was temptation for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the sense that he had two young girls. He was tempted with the fitna, with the test of women, which is a great test for men. Likewise, he had absolutely nothing, the fitna, the test of wealth, in a very, very desperate situation. And as you know, desperate situation leads a person to drastic measures. But despite being in a desperate situation, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam upheld the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala was true to him in a very, very short span of time. Allah ta'ala removed the difficulties of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers, today we are living in desperate times. Every person has some sort of problem. Some person some medical issues, some person some financial issues, some person some medication, other issues as well. Desperate times we're living in. Be like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that despite being in a very, very desperate situation, we uphold the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma kfini bi halalika al haramik. We only stick to that which is halal, which is permissible for us. And we shun, no matter what our situation, we shun that is haram. If a person will do this, then we will find, inshallah, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in a very short span of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also remove our difficulties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also bring ease into our lives. Time is run out. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. My dear brother, you know that if matter of days, matter of hours, the month of Ramadan will be dawning upon us. Preparation for Ramadan does not start when the month of Ramadan starts. Today we have sporting events in the world. The preparation for the sporting events starts months, maybe years before the World Cup commences. Why? Because they say they want to peak at the right time. And they want to hit the ground running. Likewise, we should not wait for the month of Ramadan to come for us to get in the groove. If a person will do this, then what will happen? The month of Ramadan will commence. The person is still getting warmed up. And before he knows it, 10 days, 15 days, the month of Ramadan is already passed. And a person has lost a lot of good. Rather, preparation for Ramadan starts prior to Ramadan. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions that when the month of Shaaban will come, then the ulama, the pious predecessors, akarbu al-Quran, they will devote themselves to extra recitation of Quran in preparation for Ramadan. It mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that there was no month in which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will fast more after the month of Ramadan than the month of Shaaban, in preparation for the month of Ramadan. So my dear brothers, the month of Ramadan is coming. Let us prepare for the month of Ramadan. And the best preparation we can do is to make tawbah and istighfar and repent for our sins before the month of Ramadan comes. So that when the month of Ramadan comes now, we have a plain and a cleared field. And now we're ready to sow the seeds for us to reap the rewards in akhirat. Allah give us understanding.